A few minutes prior, Corporal Lewis Brenner was under the 40-millimeter mounted half-track when the enemy artillery rounds started coming in again. He looked at the tough nut in the oil pan and decided to try once more. His wrench slipped and he smacked his wrist on the underside of the pan. He grabbed his wrist with his other hand and a rag partly covered up a new tattoo on his forearm.
"Damn it! I cut myself!"
The incoming artillery started hitting a few hundred yards away.
"It's starting again, Brenner. Let's get to the trench," said Livingston.
Brenner listened again for a moment.
"It is far away to the west, no sweat."
He smiled and grinned at the scared face of Livingston, begging him to get out.
"No problem. I'm going to get that nut undone or else."
Brenner reapplied the wrench and with a grunt and spun the nut. He was victorious. As his smile, the oil quickly started pouring into his container. He started to crawl out on his back. Suddenly, he looked puzzled as the half-track compressed down upon him, then bounced upward and to the side from being hit from above by an artillery round. His nose began to bleed. The front wheel came down and pinned his wrist, jerking his entire body in agony. His leg kicked the gas pan and gas flowed out all over the ground all around him. His other arm reflexively grabbed the oil containers, trying to pull himself away from the tire pinning his other arm. He could hear someone screaming and soon realized it was him. He shut his mouth and bit his lip. Brenner looked for help toward where Livingston was. He saw the man had rolled away and was pounding out sparks landing on the ground near him. Brenner's eyes went wild as he suddenly realized that there was a rain of sparks coming from above. He smelled smoke and tried desperately to get out from under the track. He couldn't get loose. He smelled the gas and oil, and he started kicking dirt onto the ground near him, trying to cover up the spill gas and oil.
"Get me out of here! I'm stuck! Hurry up! Grab my arm!"
Livingston quickly crawled over. Blood was coming from his nose and ears from the concussion. He grabbed Brenner's arm and desperately tried to pull him out. There was a whoomp and a flash of searing heat. Livingston stumbled backward, slapping out the flames on his uniform. Livingston looked back under the track and saw it was completely on fire. He spied Brenner jerking wildly amidst the flames. His screams were like nothing he had ever heard before as Brenner begged, "Shoot me! Please shoot me!" But he could not hear. As if on autopilot, he pulled out his .45 and pointed at Brenner, burning to death. He could feel the weapon fire as he watched casings fly into the air, but he could not hear it. The gun jerked again and again until the human figure was no longer moving, and there were no more shells to fire. Carpenter heard the shots and ran faster. When he turned into the 40-millimeter half-track bunker, he had to shield his face from the heat. Carpenter looked away and saw Livingston still pulling the trigger to his gun, over and over again. Livingston's clothes were still smoking and there was a terrible stench of burning hair and human flesh. Carpenter grabbed Livingston and drug him away and down the trench line. All Livingston could do was mutter,
"I'm sorry, I'm so sorry."